We're fortunate in this church. We've got some amazing people who God has set in here, and he's made them not just elders, but teaching elders. They're able to get up and share the good news. They're able to get up and encourage us in God's word. And in the Bible, by the way, not that we've, you know, big on titles around here. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but just think about it. How many of you still call me pastor, and how many of you just call me Tim? Some of you just call me Tim. Some of you call me pastor. Pastor isn't who I am. It's the thing I do. Not the only thing I do, but it's something that I do. But today, it's Pastor John's day to speak. You say, well, he's not a pastor. Yes, he is. He's helping with the leading of the sheep in the body. He's going to share something with you from the Word of God. I believe that if you'll just sit and let Holy Spirit work on you, it'll work on you. So I want everybody to get to your feet and make John feel welcome as he comes. Come on, Pastor John.
All right, stop it. Why'd you stop? Oh, Lordy. Any of you had a day where, like, nothing went right? That is so me today, so I'm going to be super fast so that nothing goes wrong. How many of you got your Bibles? Let me see them. If you held up a phone, you're not saved. No, I'm just kidding, kind of. If you want to open to Matthew 14, we will make our way there in a minute. Oh, so today I've got the family in the car. We're getting ready to head here for worship team practice, and I hit the garage door opener, and my garage door doesn't open. It's froze shut. That's awesome. So I put washer fluid along the seam at the bottom. And I hit the garage door opener again, and it proceeds to rip the weather stripping right off the bottom of my garage door. So, yeah, that was fantastic. So, yeah, started off on a great note. Then my daughter was up here with me during practice, and apparently she got hungry and ate my communion wafer. So I broke nothing. All right. It's all right. I'll have a snack later. How many of you are feeling optimistic about 2024 going into the year? Four? All right. You who didn't raise your hand, you're my people. I've had this really foreboding feeling about 2024 for quite a while, and it just seems like we're in uncertain times. Am I alone in that? All right, I am. I'm preaching to myself today. It just seems like everywhere you look, there's chaos somewhere. The southern border, the Middle East, Ukraine, just chaos, lack of order. It feels like we're on the edge of something cataclysmic happening, right? Especially being an election year. I've heard a lot of Christian speakers talk about how we're in the end times. Are we in the end times? I have no idea. I would be weary of anybody who says that they do know. But what I do know is, even if we are in the end times, it doesn't change anything about what our focus should be. So lately I've fallen into this trap, and it's very easy to fall into. So as a husband and a father, it's my job to protect my family, right? And with those responsibilities, you become aware of dangers that normally you didn't even think about, right? Particularly with being a father, I mean, mothers understand this too. You start to notice things like, that on the floor, could they choke on that? Man, did I Did I leave anything sharp in the sink that they could reach? The issue is there's a difference between being aware of danger and living in fear. I was letting my awareness of the dangers take hold to the point where I was living in fear. I took my eyes off the ball. That's kind of the title of today's message. All right, we in Matthew 14, verse 23. Story we have all probably had preached to us 100 times. I'm making it 101. So after he had sent the crowds away, he being Jesus, after he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." I love Peter. He's so, like, just spur of the moment. He just does stuff without thinking constantly. He's my kind of guy. And he said, and Jesus said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Like I said, we've all heard this story and this analogy probably 100 times, but Peter fell into the same trap that I did. So he had the boldness and the faith to say, "If it's you, Lord, tell me to come out and walk on the water to you." But then everything around him started to sink in. He took his eyes off of the Lord. His focus was everywhere else. These distractions are real sometimes. Like with Peter, like, he could feel the wind on his face. He could taste the sea spray from the storming waves crashing around him. Like, the distractions don't necessarily have to be just anxiety that are just in your mind. They can be real. We've all had those things. You'll notice right now the big thing is inflation. Your money's not going as far as it did, right? So these things, we feel this pressure pushing in on us, or this chaos around us that we can observe and see. The focus should be on Jesus, though, because he is more real than anything we could taste or touch or experience here on this side. Like I said, though, I'm not saying they're not real. I'm not playing down any hardships any of us have had. Both good and bad, though, the Lord has a way, he transcends all of it. Like you'll see in Mark 8:22. We've heard this story a lot, too. We see a blind man was in the village of Bethsaida, and Jesus was asked to touch him and heal him. Jesus took his hand and led him out of the village where the blind people and lepers were supposed to be. And then he proceeds to spit in his eyes. You can imagine the last time a blind man heard someone spit on him, it was not to heal him. If you look at biblical examples in the Old Testament, spit was a sign of disgrace. The belief was, If you were born blind, it was because either you sinned or your parents sinned. It's interesting that so often the Lord uses experience that caused us great pain. He uses those to turn it around and heal us. He can use all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose, even when it makes absolutely zero sense to us, right? In Matthew 10:16, the Lord tells us to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. So what exactly does that mean? It means be vigilant, be aware, but be innocent. That's a very difficult thing to balance out sometimes. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 16:13-14, essentially the same thing. In a different way, he says, be alert and stand firm in the faith. Act like men and be strong, but let all that you do be done in love. If we look at Paul's audience, the church in Corinth, we see some parallels between the city and America today. First, the church in Corinth was multicultural and was a hub of worldwide commerce. And Corinth was overwhelmingly pagan, and in the middle of this pagan city is a young church struggling to deal with how to navigate their daily life as a believer in a pagan society. Then we see in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians that a group decided to use Paul's first letter and sow division, and Paul was trying to deal with this issue. So I want to highlight, be aware of anybody who would try to sow division in a congregation or sow division in general. Division is never good. It's anti-God. You could say anti-Christ if you wanted to view it that way. Beware of anybody who would use division to try to gain an upper hand over somebody else. It's often, division is something weak people use to try to get power over a situation that they feel powerless in. In 1 Corinthians 13, when Paul lays out the attributes of love, it's impossible to display all these characteristics of love and for there to be division. Division is the entire antithesis of God, who is three beings so united that they're one. Can you even comprehend that? I can't. I try to think about it. I try to pray about it, and it's just beyond me. But, I mean, as with anything in theology, you're never going to fit God in your head. Degradation, idolatry, and division should ring a few bells about America right now. We're inundated with radical agendas on a constant basis. One thing I've noticed as a parent to a young child is when I was a kid, it was like you could just sit in front of a TV and watch kids' shows, and they were just kids' shows. Today, you cannot. You have to screen almost everything they watch to make sure that there's not some kind of political or social agenda attached to it. It's radical and it's constant and it's everywhere. It's election season, and not to trigger anybody, But during election season, it seems like idolatry is something that we can all kind of identify with. Because everybody's got their favorite candidate. And the attitude always seems to be, especially in the church, I feel like, attitude always seems to be, I'll vote for this person because they're the right person and they'll fix everything for me. And they're the savior of the country. And I just want to remind everybody, point it at myself as well. I fall into this trap constantly. But there's one savior, and his name's not Donald Trump. It's not Joe Biden. And it's not Robert Kennedy Jr. or insert politician's name here. So what can we do where we feel like society is radicalized so much and there's so much chaos and uncertainty? The waves are crashing and we feel the wind on our face. The one thing we cannot do anymore is we can't just come to church, punch our good Christian card, and then go home and live completely undiscernible from a non-believer. And you sure as heck don't get to just vote for somebody and act like they're going to fix it all for you. We have to have radical faith in the face of radical evil. Be keenly aware of the world around you and what's going on in it. But keep your eyes on him and what he's called you to do, even when it's difficult. We're out of the Christmas season now, but the easiest thing you could do is say Merry Christmas to somebody. We shop at Meijer, and multiple times, like, we would do the self-checkout, and the cashier would say, like, have a good day. And I would stop and say Merry Christmas, and it almost, like, shook them out of their habit. Like, whoa, somebody said Merry Christmas. Don't sow division, but love. Being an election year, this is going to be very difficult. You're going to talk to somebody who doesn't believe everything that you believe, which naturally nobody believes everything you believe, right? Except me, because I'm right all the time. But but don't sow division with it. Like, you can have good conversation, but beware of treating them like they're in a separate tribe than you. Because we're all children of God, right? Right. Even liberals. Even conservatives. Even libertarians. When you're at the store... Oh, man, this is going to be really hard. When you're at the store, talk to somebody you don't know there and make them smile. That's going to be real difficult for my generation because we're all antisocial. Tyler gets me. If you see somebody who has a cast on or is in a wheelchair, what's stopping you from asking if you can pray for them? When I was taking these notes, something that occurred to me is a couple of weeks ago, me and Brianne were at Meijer, back by the dairy, and we ran into Jeanette. So there was me, Brianne, and Jeanette there. Why couldn't we have had revival breakout right there? There's two or more gathered. So telling on myself, like, it didn't even occur to me. It's not even in my thought process. But this is what I need to work on, to have that be one of the first things I think of. Like, there's another believer. There's two or more right here. Why can't we have something radical happen right here? Another thing that's super easy that I fail at quite often, when you're at a restaurant, pray over your meal, but do it out loud. Like, nothing against silent prayer, but, and Jesus was pretty clear, you don't pray to be seen, but there's nothing wrong with being seen praying. Yeah, so the bottom line I'm getting at is radical doesn't always mean it has to be hard. Sometimes radical is just being faithful when it's inconvenient. Like if you're in a hurry at the store, like there's always time to do what the Lord's called you to do. And if there's not, then you've mishandled the time that the Lord's given you, because there's always time to do what he's given you to do. So I want to leave you with one more thought. You're going to see a lot of division sown this year. You're going to see a lot of turmoil this year. And the reason for that is there is power up for grabs. And for the people that have that power or want that power, division is usually their best friend. So I'm asking you guys to keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the Lord and what he's called you to do. The Lord didn't say you're all children of God except Pharisees and Sadducees. Like, he died even for the people who were killing him, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So we don't get the privilege of treating people like they're in a separate tribe because they're going to vote for that guy or that guy. And we don't get the privilege of trying to sow division to help our guy. Right?
Or girl.
Or girl. Is there a female running? Anyway, so I want to leave you with that. Keep your eye on the ball. I preached to myself this morning. So if anybody else got anything out of it, that's just extra. So, all right. You want to close? All right.
Amen. You know, last week we started talking about revision. And you can't have revision if you don't have a vision. You also can't have division without a vision. And there are some who that's what they're about. Their vision is to get what they want, as John said, by dividing and conquering. Have you ever heard that before, divide and conquer? I think there's a lot of things to think about in that word today. So I'll encourage you. At the same time, we're going to talk more about it next week and probably in the weeks to come. Getting the vision, the focus that God wants us to have as a body of believers and as individuals. And obviously, if the body says it's got this vision but the individuals don't have it, it isn't going anywhere. On the other hand, if individuals have the vision, but we don't communicate our vision to one another and we don't start to work together in the vision, then we could end up with division. So there's a lot that God's wanting to do, and it's really interesting that God is picking on us. I didn't even think about it when I started that message last week. In a year, in a season, here we go. Got all these candidates out there vying for their positions and all sorts of things. It's time for us to have the right heart. There are some people out there who can be given the vision that God has for them. How many of you think if everybody had the vision that God gave for them, all the voting would go well? It would. All right, let's stand up. So this is going to be an interesting year. I'm kind of excited about what God's doing. If you didn't get a chance to get prayer for something in your body today and you need a healing, make sure you just tell somebody you need that. If they don't know exactly what to pray for you, they'll find a couple other people and a whole bunch of. I've been seeing it. I love it. I love it when I'm talking to someone and I glance over and there's a group of people around somebody praying for them. I think that's the way God wants to bring breakthrough, more than just, you know, the man of God. Ha! You know? So I don't mind being the man of God occasionally, but I like to see the people of God. And it's exciting to see you all praying for one another and believing for one another. So put your hand on your heart. This was one of those heart messages today. Father, just minister to our hearts and get our hearts, Lord, healed from all the scars and divisions and things that sometimes keep us apart. And Lord, help us to have eyes to see what you're up to, because you are always doing something behind the scenes and sometimes obviously, but we don't notice it because the other stuff has our attention. The wind and the waves are drawing us away. So help us, Lord, to have in our hearts what you want us to have in our hearts so that we can see what you're doing and rejoice in it. Now send your people out from here, Lord. Keep them warm, get them home, and give them a great day. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, give somebody a high five and then you can leave.